Mark and Luke, John has a little bit of a different way of presenting the gospel. While Matthew, Mark, and Luke have similar stories and a similar timeline, and they're set up in a similar way, John sets out on a different path. And instead of just sharing the stories of Christ's ministry, John gets to the heart of the matter and shares the meaning behind the life of Christ. John is writing to an intended audience of lost souls, both Jews and Greeks. And therefore, his purpose is a little bit different. In fact, his purpose is stated at almost the end of his writing, in John chapter 20, verse 31, the entire purpose of his gospel is wrapped up in this one verse, and he says this, "But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." That is why we entitled this series, Discovering Jesus. Who is Jesus? You know, if you were to ask that question today to a group of people, you would get many different answers. You would get answers like this. Well, he was a great historical figure in history. He was a man who lived and who taught great things. But he was just that, a historical figure, no different than some of our presidents, no different than other great men who have lived throughout history, or great women who have lived throughout history that have taught. He was a historical figure. You may have some that say he's a great philosopher, he was a great teacher, he was someone who gave a lot of great teachings to the world, you know, like love your neighbor as yourself, or do unto others as you would have done unto you. He was a great teacher. Some would tell you that he was just crazy. He was out of his mind. He said things that shouldn't have been said. He said things that were contrary to the way the world thought. Every single one of those answers is wrong. Throughout the next, however long it takes us to get through this series, what I want us to do is to discover who Jesus Christ really is, with the intended purpose that John had, that these things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that in believing you may have life in his name. The gospel will be presented in a little bit of a different way than the other three gospel writings that we have in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John is a great example, and its sole purpose is to tell you exactly who Jesus Christ is. And this morning, we're going to start with the first two verses of the book of John. Over the next few months, our goal is to answer the question, not with our own wisdom, not with our own thoughts, but with the absolute truth of God's Word. And so let's read this morning, John chapter 1, starting in verse 1 and going down through verse 2. Here's what God's Word says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Would you pray with me this morning? Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you for the message that you will share with us this morning. Father, I pray that as we begin this journey, Father, that we would discover exactly who Jesus Christ is. Father, with the same intended purpose as John had when he wrote, that we may believe and through that belief have eternal life. Father, I pray that you would guide us as we walk through the book of John, as we walk through your word, Father. Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts. Lord, I pray that you would show us, Father, deep down in our hearts, what we really believe about Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that if we find that our heart does not match up with what your word says, Father, that you would convict us, that you would move us to repentance, And Father, you would move us closer to you. Father, I pray now in this time that you would speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that it would not be my words nor my wisdom, but yours and yours alone. Father, we come to you this morning thankful for the opportunity to hear a message from you. Teach us this morning, Lord. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We're going to discover over the next little while who Jesus Christ really is. And here in the first 18 verses of the book of John, we see a prologue, where John is going to begin to kind of describe what he's going to go through throughout his entire writing. And so what we begin to expound upon today and talk about today is going to be built upon over the next couple of months. But here we start in verses 1 and 2, and he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God." There are three things that I want us to see this morning from the first two verses of the writing of John as we begin to discover who Jesus really is. Number one, Jesus is the eternal one. Jesus is the eternal one. In the beginning, I want you to hold your fingers here with me for just a second and flip back to the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. It is something that every single one of us is probably very familiar with. Genesis 1, verse 1 starts out and says this, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Then you look at John chapter 1, verse 1, "In the beginning." They start in the very same way. The phrase "in the beginning" is to indicate to us that before creation, God existed. He is the eternal one. We see that in Genesis. He was never created. He has always been. And then we get here to John chapter 1, verse 1, and it says the exact same thing about Jesus Christ. "In the beginning was the Word." Jesus has always been. He is the eternal Son of God. In the beginning was the Word. It is the same beginning as Genesis. And that is to say that before creation, God and Jesus has always existed. He is the eternal one. Here is John. He's writing it, and we're told that in the beginning was the Word, that before creation, Jesus Christ himself existed. And he says it again in John chapter 8, verse 58, when he says this, "Jesus said to them," this is Christ's own words, he says, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Jesus is the eternal one. Jesus was not a created being. And that plays a very important part for us to understand something this morning. Jesus was not a backup plan for sin. Sin didn't enter the world and catch God off guard and he said, "Oops, I got to find a way to fix this." Jesus has always been God's plan to share his love with you. That even when you don't deserve another chance, God made a way through his Son, Jesus Christ. That has always been God's plan. Jesus was God's plan from the beginning. He wasn't a backup plan. He wasn't trying to go back and fix something that was messed up. Jesus has always been. In the beginning was the Word. You may be saying, "Well, Brother Ryan, it says the Word, not Jesus." Well, we'll talk about that here in just a few minutes and why John chose that particular writing and that particular word. But make no mistake about it. When he says, "In the beginning was the Word," he is speaking about Jesus Christ. And here's what we can take from that this morning, church, as we look at the fact that Jesus is the eternal one. No matter what is going on in your life, no matter what is going on in this world, no matter the trials, no matter the situations, no matter what seems to be happening with the evilness in this world and what goes on around us, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and it's the same thing for Jesus Christ. We worship a risen Savior that is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He is the eternal one. That means when this world ceases to exist and we're gone and we've gone to meet up with Him, guess who will still exist and be there and be in power and be in authority? It is Jesus Christ. You can take it to the bank. It is a for sure thing. He is the eternal one who will always be there, who is always the same, who will never give up His kingdom, who will never give up His authority, because He is the eternal one. No matter what is going on in your life, you can have a Savior who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I don't know about you, but I began to kind of think about that, and I began to kind of think about all these things that are going on in this world. And we're coming up in a time and a season where elections are coming up. We don't know what's going to happen, who's going to get voted in, what's going to happen to our country. We don't know what the stock markets are going to do. We don't know what the people around the world are going to do in response to what happens. We're not sure. And I don't know about you, but that's kind of an unsettling foundation to be sitting on right now. I don't know, it may just be me, and it may just be that I'm a little bit of a worrywart, and Amy Lee will probably tell you that that's very much true. But I sit and think, man, if that's all that I've got to stand on in this world, if this country and these things, and I love our country and God has blessed us, but if that's all the security I've got, that's kind of a shaky foundation to be standing on. But as a Christian, when we understand that Jesus is the eternal one, that in the beginning He was there, and it goes on to say that there was nothing that was made that wasn't made by Him. You can look at verse 3. All things were made through Him. He was there. He has always been. That is the foundation that I want to stand on, is one who has always been and will always be. He is the eternal one. Jesus was God's plan from the very beginning, which brings me to my second point this morning that I want us to take a look at. Not only is He the eternal one, but He is also, we need to look at His deity. His deity. Look very quickly with me throughout verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus has always been fully God. It says very clearly in John chapter 1 that the Word, speaking of Jesus Christ, was with God and the Word was God. Jesus Christ has always been fully God. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, it says this, "For in Him," speaking of Jesus Christ, "dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." Jesus Himself embodies all of the attributes of God, all of the authority, all of the worthiness, all of the power, all of the might. That is Jesus Christ. And when you begin to think about that, that He was fully God, it begins to make what Christ did upon the cross an act of love even more amazing for us to look at. Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. I want to read this to you this morning. And I want you to keep in mind that Jesus Christ, being fully God, His deity, I want you to listen to this verse in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. "Who existing in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to cling to, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being founded in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Think about that for just a second. As we look at the truth from God's own word, don't argue with me, it is God's word. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That as he sat there and saw men in their sinful state, Philippians says that he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. He put on man and stepped into this world to pay the price for you and for me. We didn't deserve it. We still don't deserve it. But God, through his loving kindness, stepped into this world to provide a way for you and me. He emptied himself and took on the form of a servant to die and be obedient to death, and death even on a cross, on a sinner's cross, on a criminal's cross, when he lived a perfect life. As my old pastor used to say at First Baptist Hendersonville, if that don't get your fire going, your wood's wet. To think for just a moment that even when we didn't deserve it, God stepped into history, took on the form of a servant, took on the form of human likeness, and being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Charles Wesley wrote it best when he said this in his song. He says, he left his Father's throne above, so free, so infinite his grace. He emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? Jesus Christ himself was fully God. We'll develop that idea a little bit more as we go throughout the book of John. We're also going to develop the idea that he was also fully man. And in being fully man, he took the sins of the world upon him and paid the price that we owe. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me? He emptied himself. What a Savior that we worship. What a God that we worship. That through his love sent his only Son to die upon the cross for our sins. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. We have an eternal Savior that we can worship. And we have a God that loves us enough that emptied himself to take on the form of man, to die upon a cross for our sins. When we recognize his deity, we must recognize that on that principle alone, Jesus Christ is worthy of all of our worship and all of our praise. Because he is God. Jesus alone is worthy of all of our worship and all of our praise, and yet time after time after time, and I've done it myself and I'm stepping on my own toes, we come into a worship service where we're prepared to meet with him and we give him second best. We give him whatever's left over after the week. We give him whatever energy we have left. We give him and we say, here you go, God, this is what I got. Jesus, this is what I bring to you today. This is all I got in me. But when we recognize his deity, we must recognize that he is worthy of every bit and the best that we have of our worship and praise to him. We've seen his deity. We've seen that he is the eternal one. Last but not least, I want you to look that Jesus is the Word. Now, some may be asking, Brother Ryan, where are you getting this? Why in the world does John, as he's writing this letter to lost people, why is it that he says, in the beginning was the Word? Why doesn't he say, in the beginning was Jesus? Why didn't he just make it very clear? When the original writing, remember, his intended audience was both Jew and Greek. And so when he chose the word, when God moved him to choose the word logos or logos, which is translated for us word, it had a very important meaning. In fact, it was a term that could be understood by the Jewish reader and the Greek philosopher. To the Greeks, logos or logos meant the act of speaking. It was reason and order in the universe. It was a source of wisdom to the Jew who was used to God speaking to them. It was power and wisdom. So when you look at this and it says, in the beginning was the Word, the Greek would understand it saying that this is God speaking directly to you through his Son, Jesus Christ. And the Jews would recognize the power and the wisdom behind God speaking. There was a very important reason why this word was chosen. Because Jesus was God speaking to all of his creation in a final manner, saying, this is the Lamb I promised to take away the sins of the world. This is the Messiah that I promised to the nation of Israel. This is the way to restore order in a universe that sin has destroyed in my Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was God speaking to his creation in a final manner, saying, this is the new covenant that is created through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, here in a moment, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember what God has done for us, what Jesus has come to this earth to do for us, and that is for his body to be broken and his blood to be shed to bring us about the remission of sin. And when he says, in the beginning was the Word, what he is saying is this is God speaking to his creation. This is God's wisdom to send his Son into the world to die for your sins, that through him you might have the remission and forgiveness of sins. And for the Jews, it was a way to remember and a way for them to pause and remember the promise that God had made to them. And it was him saying, this is the Messiah who I have sent. Unfortunately, as we will look later on, there were some who did not understand. If you go on down to verse 11 of chapter 1, it says, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. God was speaking to their hearts through his Son, Jesus Christ, and they did not receive him. Jesus Christ is God's promised word of salvation and redemption to his creation. He was speaking directly to his creation. You know, we've been talking about it in the youth Sunday school class, and we've been going through the book of Genesis and looking at how creation, that the Bible study was called Creation Unraveled, and now we're looking at Creation Restored. And we even talked about it this morning, how man was the prized creation of God's work. In fact, man is the only creation in which you see God look around and say, let us make man in our own image. He especially took time to create us, and then when we rebelled against him, we walked away from him, to the point where sin began to grow, and it got in to the point where you had Cain and Abel, and you had one kill the other, and he looks up at God and he says, what am I, my brother's keeper? Am I supposed to keep up with him? He didn't care. Sin has destroyed this world. And God is going to put it back together with His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the promised word of salvation. That is why it is important that He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And church, I want to finish with this morning as we get ready to partake of the Lord's Supper, to come to an understanding of what God has done for us. I want us to look at something very quickly. You may be saying, that's great, Brother Ryan. I'm glad that God spoke through His Son. I'm glad that God sent us His Son. And it's great that John wrote about it, and he was writing to an audience then, but he's not speaking to me, and you can't be any further from the truth, because the fact is that God is still speaking to our hearts today. You say, how is that, Brother Ryan? How is it that God is still speaking to our hearts today? Can I tell you the greatest answer I have for you? It's right here in His Word. God is still speaking to our hearts today through His Word, through the written down Word of God. And today He has told us that Jesus is the Eternal One, that Jesus is the One that God has promised, that He is God, that He Himself took on the form of man to pay our debts upon a sinner's cross, and that He wants you to come and to know Him. He is still speaking to our hearts today. And over the next few months, we're going to take an in-depth look to discover exactly who Jesus Christ is. But based upon what you have seen today, knowing that God is still speaking to your hearts, He is still speaking to us through His Word, my question for you is this: will you answer? Will you answer God's small, still voice that is in your heart right now saying, Jesus Christ is the Son of God who came to this world to pay your sin debt. And what He asks is for you to surrender your life to Him. Remember, go back to the entire purpose of John. In John chapter 20, John chapter 20 and verse 31, what's the entire purpose of what we just read? He says this: but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing you may have life in His name. Will you answer the call? Will you answer that small, still voice in your heart now in this moment? He is the Eternal One. He is God. And He is God's spoken word that is still speaking to your heart today. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Father, we thank You for this day. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity we have to read from Your Word. Lord, I pray now in this time that You would speak to our hearts. Father, I pray that we are listening to Your Word. Father, I pray that You would help us discover exactly who Jesus Christ is over the next few months and weeks, or however long it takes, Father. That we would come to a true understanding of who our Savior is. Father, I pray that You would be with those, Father, who have a heart maybe of unbelief, who don't know. Father, I pray that You would begin now in this time, Father, to reveal Yourself to them, to share Your love with them. Father, I pray that You would move in their hearts. Lord, I pray now in this time that you move in this time of invitation. Help us answer your voice, Father. Lord, we love you and we thank you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us this morning as we sing our hymn of invitation?